Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How can our local financial institutions help our small businesses survive in this difficult time? Let's go in depth with Clint Welling with TrueBank. Well, first let me ask Clint, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. I mean, staying really busy, and you know, the release of all these SBA programs has really been kept us on our toes. Let's just say that.
Yeah, the Small Business Administration has released some funds. Can you tell us a little bit about those funds and who's eligible?
Yeah, so the main one the banks are dealing with right now is called the Payroll Protection Program, or the better known as PPP Loan Program. So anybody who has a payroll, a W-2 employee, or any small business that has a W-2 employee is eligible, as long as they don't have more than 500 employees working for them. They're eligible for that. Self-employed farmers are also eligible. Self-employed individuals who just file a Schedule C return are also eligible. So just about anybody who works for a wage or works for themselves and shows an income are eligible for this program.
So how do I find out more about these? Do I just go online? What's the best way for me to proceed?
You can go online or contact your local lending institution. I would say that the local institutions have had better luck in processing these programs than some of the larger national ones. They just are a little bit quicker on the turnaround, it seems like, and able to maneuver the system a little bit easier than some large national ones.
Well, I read that some of the program was set up specifically to let our local banks be more nimble.
Yes, that is true. I think with anything, the way this has been structured and the timing, I guess, if I want to say this correctly, how quickly they rolled this program out, there was a lot of banks, a lot of small community banks and local lenders who probably weren't prepared to do lending through an SBA function. So that was a little bit of a challenge for some institutions. Now, there's a lot of institutions like ourselves, though, that were a registered lender with SBA, and it was a pretty seamless process. The biggest issue for people who were authorized already was just the log jam on the system, and the connection to SBA's portal would crash every so often. So some of that overload of their system was kind of the timing issue and what maybe drug things down a little bit.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Clint Welling with TrueBank. Well, what are some of the requirements of the program?
You know, really, the requirements of the program are pretty simple. If they're allowing people who had employees last year to basically come up with a monthly average in your payroll from 2019, and then you can calculate that by 2.5 months, and they're giving you that amount as your quote-unquote loan approved amount or approved loan amount, so then you can go and use those funds for payroll, anything related to payroll expense, such as benefits, health care coverage for your employees, any retirement benefits for your employees. State taxes are included in that. Then there's also you know, you can include mortgage interest if you own your own building, or lease expense. Then also any utility expense that you have for your business that that you may have to pay just to keep the doors open or keep your resources producing whatever it is that that you do business in.
Now, I've heard that maybe these loans might end up going away, being forgiven. Is that just rumor, or is that might happen?
No, that is, at this point, that's the way they are billing the program, and I don't foresee any reason why that would change. I think the big, I don't even want to call it a burden, but I think the big sticking point for the customers is going to be that they need to make sure that they monitor and track what they're spending this money on. If 75% of the money is spent on payroll or payroll-related expenses, then they are supposed to be able to get 100% of their loan forgiven. There are some caveats to the program, which are you cannot decrease your employee salary, you cannot decrease the number of employees that you have working on staff, or that forgiven amount may go down. So it may become a pro rata share or a percentage basis, depending on, if you lost one employee or if you lost 10 employees. It just depends on how big you were before and how big you are now. The program is designed to keep people, getting a paycheck and not necessarily run into the unemployment office. So I think that's the idea behind the program, and that's what they want to hope, keep the paychecks rolling for the employees.
Any other resources for small businesses that come to mind?
Well, there was the state of Iowa had the grant program out there, and I believe that's been fully subscribed. And then the SBA did have another program, which was called Economic Impact Disaster Loans, or EIDL for short. The one differentiation there is that if you use the EIDL funds for the same purposes of the PPP loan, you can only take one or the other. You gotta be really careful, and I would kind of direct people back to their CPA or their accountant or whoever does their books for them to help them with that piece of it, because one is a forgivable loan, which is the PPP program, and the other one may become a loan that you have to repay back over a certain period of time, which that was the EIDL or the EIDL program that they discussed.
Well, now there's lots of challenges to businesses now. Can you sort of share what some of the conversations you're having with some customers, some challenges that they're sharing that you and or whoever their financial institutions are might be able to help them with?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge for people right now is just strictly uncertainty. And I guess from a banking perspective, we try and counsel these customers to, okay, does your business model stay the same? Do you need to tweak it a little bit to kind of go with the current times, or what are you doing to tweak it to still maintain your operation, or at least maintain a certain percentage of your operation? You look at restaurant industry right now, and there's a lot of people that are doing just strictly takeout, obviously. So they've kind of gotten a drastic reduction in business. However, they're still able to maybe salvage some of it to keep their customer base and make sure that they are top of mind when people can go back to a restaurant. Or you look at a small retail shop that maybe is used to people coming in on Saturdays and buying t-shirts or buying clothing or goods or services, whatever it might be. The relatively cheap avenues to connect with the communities and say, hey, we're still open, here's my newest line or here's my newest product in store, please shoot me an email or please give me a call, I'm here, and we can do curbside pickup. So there's a lot of, I'll say, ingenuity to some of that, where they are changing, they are adapting their business model to help still service their customer and still keep their business open and at least operational, even though it might not be the same operation it was 6 weeks ago,
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Clint Welling with TrueBank. I think our natural inclination as Iowans, as Midwesterners, that if times get tough, we just sort of hunker down and lean into it.
Yep.
And we might not communicate effectively. How important is communication during this hard time with our financial institution, the people that are managing our money one way or another?
Yeah, I think it's immensely important for people to communicate, even if they're not experiencing a struggle today, or if they're not experiencing anything adverse today, it might come 60 days from now. I think that, in looking at the different results from, just the healthcare industry and stuff, you see where, now we're starting to see a spike in certain industries or certain parts of the state. I think you could see some lagging effect from this, whether it's you know, people not being able to get goods or products to their store because now their supplier is out because, you know, that person's supplier didn't provide them with their product, you know. So I think there could be some long-term supply chain issues, or not, maybe not long-term, but just some supply chain issues where, you know, I think it's going to be longer than the effect of, oh, hey, you can open your doors back up and be up and running tomorrow. I think it's going to be, we got to think a little bit further down the road of, okay, how is this going to affect my supply chain or my product line going forward? And will this have any adverse effect in 60 days or 90 days or even 6 months? So there's some of that, I think, that they need to work through with their account or their financial institution. They need to just kind of be thinking of that, I guess.
Well, it's sort of interesting to me that the financial institutions, you know, at whatever scale, whoever they are, they can just sit back and sort of watch what happens, you know, to their clients, or you can be proactive and try to seek out solutions. I mean, maybe, you know, at a regional, national, I don't know, level, is any of that going on where the institutions are saying, hey, here's how we can help you, small business person?
Yeah. Well, I would say yes. The short answer is yes. There's a lot of people that, you know, their small bank or their community lenders have reached out to them to put them in touch with some of this PPP loan stuff through the SBA, or just trying to get a feel for what's happening in their industry. You know, let's take the trucking industry, for example. You talk to some people who own their own truck and drive, and, you know, what kind of freight are you hauling? You know, are you seeing any shortages? Are you seeing people pull back from their loads? Or, you know, so there's some of that going, and you are starting to see certain industries that are picking up more and maybe some that are dropping down some. You know, so it just depends on what the sector might be, but it might just shift. You know, it might not be the same as it was yesterday, but it might be something different that they're going to go haul. So when you ask about reaching out and kind of helping people through that process, the answer is yes. Again, there are a lot of people that, you know, are mandated to be closed by the state, you know, so there's some uncertainty there for that institution or that business or that even that whole sector. So they just don't know what it looks like. I've talked with some different restaurant customers who are closed at the current point in time. You know, they want to take advantage of some of these programs. However, you know, they've laid off some of their employees, and maybe their employees aren't as quick to come back because now there's a better incentive to be on unemployment. You know, so there's some issues out there that could be an effect to them when they can reopen too. So there's a lot of people are thinking about a lot of different things, and, you know, each industry is a little bit different.
Sure. Any last thoughts you'd like to share today?
Yeah, I think the future, nobody knows what the future holds, but I think that, you know, everybody's trying to, like you said, you know, we lean into things, we're trying to help each other out. You know, I would just encourage people to still shop your local businesses, help them stay in business, help Main Street stay open, shop your local restaurants, help those guys stay open and operational, because I think it is going to be a key part of our future when we do get reopened and help this economy get back up and running. One other comment I guess I might make there too is just that, and I don't know how you emphasize it, but I think it's a tremendous feather in these local businesses' cap, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, for these guys to stay open and continue to try and pay their employees. And you can really see the empathy and how these employers, mostly small employers, care about their employees to keep them on the payroll, make sure that their health insurance is up, you know, try and keep these guys employed because they know what it's going to be like for them if they can't, you know. So there's a lot of people out there doing that, and there's a lot of people trying to keep this thing going. So I applaud everybody for doing that.
Thanks to Clint Welling for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, Contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.